Cleveland's Hot Stove Show with Glenn Geffner is on.
Tyson fires, Morneau swings, loops one into center field, out goes Etch, a long way out, he dives and makes the catch to save the night.
940 wins.
How about that for thrills?
Miami Sports.
I think we've checked off a lot of boxes in terms of what we wanted to accomplish. We didn't feel like we had a lot to do coming into the meetings because we had a lot of things already in place. But we felt like for us to take that next step, we needed to improve. And we wanted to add a starter. We wanted to, you know, add a bat, which we have not, you know, upgraded bat, which we haven't done yet. But we were able to improve our lineup with the addition of D. Gordon, inject some speed, and lengthen our lineup a different way.
That was Marlins President of Baseball Operations Michael Hill summing up last week's winter meetings. And with that, we welcome you to another edition of Marlins Hot Stove. We begin tonight with a warning. You may want to step away from that hot stove, or at the very least, approach it with caution, because the Marlins set that hot stove ablaze with a series of moves last week that, as Mike Hill pointed out, went a long way toward filling what holes remain in this Marlins ball club. We thank Michael and Dan Jennings for giving us a lot to talk about over the next hour. In the span of less than 24 hours in San Diego last Wednesday and Thursday, the Marlins brass pulled off three trades. In the process, they added five players who could all make a big impact in 2015. They picked up a new leadoff hitter and second baseman, a former Dodger D. Gordon. Gordon, who led the major leagues in triples and stolen bases last season, is going to join me on the show in just a couple of minutes. Additionally, the Marlins may have added two established veterans in their starting rotation in acquiring Coconut Creek's Matt Latos from Cincinnati, as well as Dan Heron from the Dodgers. The 34-year-old Heron, a 12-year vet, still deciding whether or not he'll pitch in 2015. There is a chance he may retire. That deal with L.A. brought Heron and Gordon to Miami, as well as utility infielder Miguel Rojas, who will work to crack the opening day roster this spring. Meanwhile, Miami added to its pitching depth with not just Latos and Heron, but also with the acquisition of right-hander Andre Rienzo from the White Sox. The 26-year-old brings not just depth, but also flexibility to Miami. He made 28 appearances for the White Sox over the last two seasons, 21 of them as a starter, so he could fit in as insurance in the starting rotation, or potentially as a member of the Marlins bullpen as well. And finally, the Marlins also took a shot at a young lefty reliever in Thursday's Rule 5 draft, Miami selecting Andrew McCarrahan from the Chicago Cubs organization. The 24-year-old has never pitched above Double-A, but he'll compete for a spot in the bullpen this spring. He's a hard thrower with a career 2.16 minor league ERA and more than a strikeout per inning over four pro seasons. So outside of adding a big bat at first base, slot behind Giancarlo in the lineup, the Marlins have now apparently met all of their offseason goals. And while hopes are high, certainly for Latos and Heron in the rotation, none of the new faces brought in by the club this winter are going to electrify Marlins Park in years to come, like the speedy second baseman, D. Gordon. He'll hit leadoff in 2015 and beyond, and he hits leadoff here on the show tonight. D, welcome to the Marlins, and thanks for taking some time to join us tonight.
Thanks for having me, sir.
Well, D, tell me about your day last Wednesday. I know you were in L.A. making an appearance for the Dodgers, and this news must hit you really out of the blue.
Yeah, it hit me out of the blue, but, you know, man, it's an awesome opportunity for me and my family, you know, to come to this organization, you know, and I'm excited, and I think my family's excited, and we're just ready to go.
Now, this is kind of a homecoming for you. You were born and raised in the Orlando area, and I know over the years you used to come down to Miami a lot to watch your dad pitch at Sun Life Stadium, so that's got to be an added benefit for you in this exchange.
Yeah, definitely a benefit, you know, to get to come home, you know, get to see my family, you know, to get to see me play as well. So, you know, it's definitely a benefit. I look forward to the opportunity and challenge of playing at home.
Now, 2014 was really a breakout season for you. You led the major leagues in stolen bases and triples. You were fifth in the league in hits, eighth in runs scored. After being in and out of the Dodgers lineup and up and down a little bit over the previous three seasons, was your breakout season the result of age and experience, or was it as simple as just finally getting an opportunity to know that your name's going to be in the lineup every day?
Honestly, early in the season, I didn't know if my name was going to be in the lineup every day. So it got to a point where it was just, you know, it was just learning. You know, I was learning, still learning the game, learning the ins and outs of it. And, you know, it started clicking, you know, and I started helping the team get wins.
And when it clicks like that, I would imagine your confidence all of a sudden really begins to build.
Yeah, definitely. My confidence did build, and, you know, I felt like I was a good part of the team, you know, the whole year, helping us win all those games that we did win. and eventually go into the playoffs.
Talking to New Marlins second baseman D. Gordon. Now, you leave a team in L.A. that had spent a ton of money and had put itself in a position where anything less than the World Series was going to be a disappointment. You come now to Miami, where the Marlins are looking to build something special. As young as you are at this early stage in your career, you like the idea of getting in near the ground floor here and growing with this group?
Yeah, definitely. I like that better than the situation I had in L.A. You know, that situation in L.A. was more for, you know, older guys who are more established and, you know, who have done everything they were going to do, you know, coming up through the ranks. It was more of a veteran-based team, and, you know, I was the guy still trying to learn. And, you know, it's hard to learn when it's winning the World Series of bust. You know, everybody's, you know, tense and stuff like that. So I think this is a better opportunity for me and a better fit.
Now, you played against these Marlins a couple of times in May, early May here at Marlins Park, in the middle part of May at Dodger Stadium. What do you know about this team you're joining?
I know that these guys are phenomenal talents. You know, Ozuna, you know, Big G, Stanton, Yelich, you know, these guys are just awesome. You know, they were tough to beat when we played them last year, so I know it's going to be pretty tough with me, you know, in the lineup.
You have any friends over here, any relationships that you bring to Miami?
I know Stanton from, like, Double A. I know Ozuna from Winter Ball, you know. I always talk to people when they come to second, like nothing outrageous or anything, but just say hi, what's up. So nothing like that, but I look forward to, you know, getting to meet everyone when I get to spring training.
You mentioned going back to Double A with Giancarlo. I saw somewhere where you said the longest home run you've ever seen hit was a Stanton home run back in the Southern League in Double A.
Yeah, it was a funny story. I had a guy, you know, he had been a top prospect his whole career, you know, and his career kind of got derailed, and he was like, "Oh, I don't believe all this hype on Stanton." And I was like, "Dude, the dude hits like 40 home runs every year." So he hits a ground, like gets his bat broken, hits a weak ground ball to third, and he's like, "He's overrated." And then the next at bat, he hits like a 500-foot home run center. I was like, "Do you believe in that?" He's like, "All right, I take it back."
It'll be fun to be out on second or third base to watch some of those firsthand come 2015 for you.
Yeah, definitely, man. I can't wait. I just really can't wait. I'm excited about this opportunity, you know, with this ball club.
You had a huge series when the Dodgers came into Marlins Park in May. The Marlins couldn't get you out for 3 days. You went 9-for-15. You ran wild on the bases. It would seem like your skill set could be perfectly suited to this ballpark.
I hope it is. You know, and I try to keep the ball down, you know, get on base, you know, like little things like that. So hopefully it is. You know, I hit occasional triple. So, you know, if that's going to help me, then I should be fine.
You made the move. You had come up as a shortstop. You made the move full-time over to second base last season. Tell me about your defense and the work that went into really solidifying yourself at second base a season ago.
Man, I really honestly was learning on the fly every day in the major leagues last year. So, you know, I didn't know, you know, how to do certain things in second, and I was just kind of making them up. But now I got Perry Hill over there, so, you know, I should be fine in that aspect of it, honestly.
You mentioned Perry Hill. I know you're going to go to boot camp in the Boneyard at spring training, I'm sure. He brings all the new infielders in, does his work. You ready for that?
Oh, yeah, we talked about it already. I told him I'm ready. I'm ready for it. You know, he told me I might get tired of him. I said, "Sir, you might get tired of me because I love to work just as well as you do."
He told me that's your reputation, that your work ethic is through the roof.
Yeah, I love to work, man. Because if something happens, you know, my dad always told me, don't have any regrets about anything. If you go out, you know, and do your job and you work hard and it doesn't work out, then you can live with that. But if you left something out there and it doesn't happen for you, then that'll make it hard to sleep at night. So I kind of live by that.
In talking about that move you made from shortstop to second base, Perry Hill has said to me over the years, and this might surprise people, but tell me if you agree with this, he says it's tougher to go from short to second than it is from second to short, because at shortstop, everything's in front of you. It's easier to turn double plays moving toward first base. Do you agree it's actually tougher to play second than shortstop?
Yeah, it's tougher to go from a second base to a shortstop because, you know, you kind of get used to the angles of playing second, and, you know, you don't have to move your feet as much, honestly, and sometimes. So you can definitely, you know, it could be tough to go from second to short. A lot of guys don't do that.
Now, some have said you might be the fastest player in the major leagues. Here in Miami, we've marveled at Giancarlo's power and how he can change a game with one swing of the bat. Now, you might never hit a baseball 475 feet, but you have the ability to similarly change a game with your speed. How big a charge is that for you when you reach first base and it seems like every eye in the ballpark, whether it's on the field or in the stands, every eye is on you?
It's awesome because, you know, more than anything, the best part about it is the pitcher, you know, getting my guy something good to hit because he's so worried about him. You know, that was one of the biggest things that happened last year with the Dodgers. Guys would get good pitches to hit later in the season because I was on first base. So, you know, that's more gratifying than anything. Guys be able to get better pitches to hit because their pitcher is so worried about you.
Now, your reputation is that you're very aggressive on the bases. You love taking the extra base. I think the percentages say you take an extra base going first to third or second home about as much as anybody in the game. I want to ask you about a couple of the base running gurus you worked with in the Dodgers organization. Davey Lopes, your first base coach, one of the great base stealers of all time, and Maury Wills, who I know you must have worked with in spring training over the years, another one of the great base stealers of all time. What did you learn from Davey Lopes and Maury Wills?
Just, you know, the little subtle things you need to know to steal bases. You know, stuff like that, when to run, that's what me and Davey was big into this year, when to run, when not to run. You know, just pretty much learning. You know, I was still learning the whole facets of being a leadoff hitter at the major league level every day. So just little things, you know, those guys helped me. Maury's been with me since 2008, so that was a little tough. So it just helped me a lot with little things, nothing major like, we got to redo a whole scenario of things, but a bunch of the little stuff they definitely helped me out with.
I've known Davey for a long time, and he paid you some very high praise. He says, a lot of guys can steal bases, but very few players are actually base stealers, and that you've become a true base stealer over the last couple of years, really mastering those intricacies of stealing bases.
That's just Davey, you know, love for me. You know, he's been with me when he was on Philly, when my dad was there, so I think it's just because we have a good relationship, you might have said that.
Now we're talking with Dee Gordon, who was acquired from the Dodgers this past week, the New Marlins second baseman, the New Marlins leadoff man, going to give this lineup an exciting look at the top, hitting in front of Christian Yelich second, Giancarlo Stanton third. Going to take a quick break right now. When we come back, some more with Dee Gordon, and coming up later in the show, a chance for you to get involved with us as well, 866-801-0940. If you want to talk some baseball tonight, it is Marlins Hot Stove on a Monday night. Stay with us. More of Dee Gordon right after this on 940 Wins.
Keep your hand on the hot stove with the Marlins' Glenn Geffner. 940 Wins, Miami Sports.
You look at, you know, at what the goal is. The goal is to score runs. And, you know, you have a player like Dee Gordon, and you combine him with Christian Yelich and Giancarlo Stanton and the rest of our lineup. And it's just, you know, it's a deeper lineup and puts pressure on the opposing team, and hopefully will allow us to score more runs.
That's Michael Hill, the Marlins president of baseball operations, talking about one of the newest Marlins, Dee Gordon, joining us tonight on Marlins Hot Stove. This was a much improved Marlins offense from 2013 to 2014. The Marlins averaging almost a full run per game more last season than they did in 2013. One thing they didn't do, though, was steal a lot of bases. As a team, the Marlins stole 58 bases. Dee Gordon led the major, stealing 64 all by himself. And as we bring Dee back in here, Juan Pierre, Dee, really the one guy in this franchise's history who had seasons like you had in going to the All-Star game this past season as a base stealer. JP had a 65 stolen base season here in 2003 when the Marlins won the World Series. Who were some of the guys, Pierre, certainly a guy for Marlins fans, some of the players you looked up to growing up?
I looked up to, like, Jeter, you know, Jimmy. Definitely Juan Pierre when he was with you guys, when he was roaming center field. You know, just guys like that. Those guys looked like they were always high-character guys. Also, I looked up to Sean Figgins when he was with the Angels. He kind of played everywhere, but he was in there every day, you know, doing his thing. So, you know, all those guys looked like they were high-character guys. You know, they didn't get into any like trouble, you know, outside of the game or anything like that. So I always look up to those guys.
Now, I've heard another guy you've enjoyed watching of late is Jimmy Rollins. And for a little bit last week, you thought you guys were going to maybe form a double play combination in Los Angeles.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, for about 20 minutes, I thought I was going to be the second baseman, but you know what it is? It is what it is. It's in God's hands, and I'm happy to be part of the Marlins.
We're talking with D. Gordon. Now, D, for folks who don't know, you grew up in a baseball family. Your father, Tom Gordon, 138 wins, 158 saves, over 15 seasons in the big leagues, mostly with Kansas City, the Red Sox, the Yankees, and the Phillies. Your younger brother, Nick, was the fifth overall pick in last year's draft, the shortstop taken by the Twins.
Yeah.
But as I understand, you were a basketball star growing up and really didn't focus on baseball until very late in high school.
Yeah, I was a basketball player, man. I love playing hoops. So, but, you know, my dad told me my senior year, like, I think baseball is the way to go. I was like, Dad, are you crazy? And he was like, nah, we see something in you, you know, on the baseball field. And I was like, all right, I'm going to listen. You know, you're my dad, and you've been playing forever, so you must know something I don't know.
Dad always knows. Now,
yeah.
Growing up, did you spend a lot of time around the ballpark with your dad during the summer?
Yeah, I spent every summer with him. It was hard to go during the school time, so every summer I was with him. And, you know, during the winter, he was here with us.
What are some of the memories you take from your youth being in that environment? That's a very unique spot to be in for a young man.
My favorite one was when I got kicked out of the 2004 Home Run Derby because I was out there shatting and trying to rob home runs.
Well, that's not good.
Yeah, it was, I thought you could. I seen Torrey Hunter doing it, so I thought it was cool to do.
Wow. Now, were there teammates of your dad's over the years who kind of took you under their wing?
Yeah, Jimmy Rollins, you know, Derek Jeter, Michael Bourne. I don't want to leave nobody out because I feel bad. I think that's about it.
And yet, being in that environment, you still thought that basketball was the way you wanted to go, huh?
Yeah, still thought doing basketball was the way I wanted to go. You know, so my dad used to go tell his teammates, oh, my son scored 30, and they were like, oh, he need to play basketball. Like, see, they thought I should play basketball too. But, you know, he knew what he was talking about.
Now, your dad last pitched in the major leagues in 2009. You got to the big leagues in 2011. Did you guys ever talk about the possibility of facing each other?
We talked about it all the time, and he'd tell me that he would hit me, or, you know, I'd be like, Dad, I'm going to get a base hit, and I'm still on you, and you're like, you can't hit me. But, you know, it didn't happen. I was about a year and a half too late.
How much is he able, obviously he was a pitcher, you're an infielder, you're a base jumper, but how much is he able to help you? Even to this day, I'm sure coming up through the minor leagues, you're able to talk a lot about the lifestyle and being a professional and things like that, but to this day, is he a big influence for you?
Yeah, he's a huge influence for me. You know, he helps me a lot, you know, understanding what pitchers want to do to me and things like that. So, you know, he's definitely a huge influence on my career, and we talk every day.
Now, I want to ask you about the other couple of guys who are coming over to the Marlins with you in this trade. Dan Heron, certainly a name that any baseball fan knows. Marlins fans know Dan Heron very well. There's that question. Will Dan Heron hang it up? He had said late last season he wanted to stay on the West Coast, Southern California preferably. He might retire rather than come to Miami. Have you been able to talk to him at all and try to encourage him to come with you?
No, I haven't talked to Danny at all. You know, that's more of a personal issue. So, you know, I'm just trying to focus on helping guys. If Danny comes, he's going to be more than a great addition. He's a great guy and a great clubhouse guy and a great teammate.
And he was a big winner last year, won 13 games for the Dodgers in Los Angeles. What do you see from him on the mound?
Oh, man, a guy who can mix his pitches well, you know, his location, he's a fighter. He gives you his all every start, and he's actually a really good hitter, honestly.
A good hitting pitcher who certainly be a nice addition to this lineup as well. And tell us about Miguel Rojas, a name that maybe many Marlins fans don't know. He wasn't in the big leagues when we saw the Dodgers back in May, but a very versatile guy who I know has a real good glove.
Yeah, Miggy, he can pitch. He can play any infield position. He's probably going to have some of the best hands on your team, to be honest with you. You know, he can absolutely play defense. You know, he was born to play defense. He's a great guy, awesome dude, and he's just a great teammate as well. I actually grew up playing against him in the minor leagues, and it was awesome for us to play with each other in the big leagues. And now we're traded together, so it's awesome too.
We're wrapping up with D. Gordon, the new Marlins second baseman, acquired in the deal with the Dodgers this past Wednesday. What's the off season like for you, D? Do you take a little time off? Or have you gotten back at it baseball-wise already?
Yeah, I got back at it baseball-wise about a few weeks ago. but I took a little time off, you know, to try to recharge my batteries. But now I'm back at it, and I'm ready to go.
I would imagine a lot of players who live around you in the Orlando area, you have a chance to work out with some other big leaguers?
Yeah, I work out with Jamal Weeks, Drew Butera, Ricky Weeks, a few guys up and coming, you know, just got drafted. So it's a nice little nucleus of guys around here, you know, working out.
Now, you've gotten a lot of advice from your dad over the years. What advice do you give your brother, Nick, who just started his pro career this past summer?
I just let Dad talk to him. Dad knows best. So I let Dad talk to him until he needs.
Sounds good. Well, D. Gordon, we welcome you to the Marlins. We're excited to have you here, and I look forward to going to work in the spring.
Thanks for having me, sir. I appreciate it.
Have a great Christmas.
You too. Merry Christmas.
That's the new Marlins second baseman, D. Gordon, our guest tonight here on Marlins Hot Stove. And, boy, what an addition he's going to be to this lineup for a lot of reasons. You know, one of the knocks that you've seen on D. Gordon from some over the course of the last week is that they say, well, as a leadoff man, he just doesn't get on base enough. You look at the numbers, and to me, the criticism really doesn't hold up. A 326 OBP for Gordon last year, sixth among qualifying National League leadoff men, fourth among NL second basemen in 2014. Does he walk a ton? No, he doesn't. But in 2014, he made up for that with the fifth most hits in the National League. And here's the bottom line. If you don't think this team would have been better with him in the lineup in 2014, only one Marlin had more hits than D. Gordon last season. That was Casey McGee. Casey, 177 hits. Gordon, 176. Only one Marlin scored more runs than D. Gordon last season. Christian Yelich scored 94 runs. Gordon scored 92 for the Dodgers. Gordon, 64 steals. Not only the most in the major leagues, they were six more than the entire Marlins team totaled in 2014. Yelich led the team with 21 steals. Giancarlo Stanton had 13. He was the only other Marlin who stole more than seven bases last season. In club history, only one player's ever had more steals in a season than Gordon had last year for the Dodgers. Mentioned the 65-steal campaign in 2003 for Juan Pierre earlier. I read where someone said the Dodgers sold high on D. Gordon. Look, he's only 26 years old. He's coming off playing a full season in the big leagues for the first time in his career. He's under club control for four more seasons. He's moving to a ballpark that ought to be perfectly suited for his skill set. He allows the Marlins to drop Christian Yelich into the two-hole in the batting order, where he's probably a more natural fit. And oh yeah, as part of the deal the Marlins and Dodgers made, the Dodgers are paying D. Gordon's salary in 2015. So the Marlins are getting a leadoff hitting second baseman for free. To me, that all adds up to a pretty good addition. If you don't see the merits in this pickup for the Marlins, I guess we're going to have to agree to disagree here. But the fact is, D. Gordon performing at or above the level he did last year is going to be a huge boost to this Marlins lineup. And at age 26, only one full season under his belt in the big leagues, there is legitimate reason to anticipate D. Gordon's baseball is still in front of him. So a nice addition to this ball club. D. Gordon, our guest tonight here on Marlins Hot Stove. Good to hear from him. Some good stories growing up in a baseball family. Brings a real enthusiasm to the ballpark every day. Plays the game hard. I mentioned, Perry Hill had mentioned to me that he's a very hard worker. He's got that reputation. A high energy guy. It's going to be fun to watch at second base. Going to be fun to watch on the bases. It's particularly exciting when you think about the fact that when this man reaches first base, the game comes to a halt. He changes everything for the pitcher, and it's going to mean more fastballs from Christian Yelich, with pitchers concerned about Gordon trying to steal second base. When you have Yelich and Gordon on base in front of Giancarlo, Giancarlo's going to get pitched to more than he did a season ago. More RBI opportunities for the Marlins. Big bat, Giancarlo Stanton. It really has a chance to be kind of a Pierre Castillo-type dynamic again for Miami when you look back to that 03 season and think about what Juan Pierre and Louis Castillo did at the top of the Marlins batting order on the way to the World Series championship. And that's what D. Gordon, at age 26, can do with Christian Yelich, who's just turned 23 years old. The Marlins second baseman, the Marlins left fielder, ought to be two very dynamic players atop this batting order in front of Giancarlo Stanton as we move forward into 2015 and beyond. Now, who will hit behind Giancarlo Stanton in the lineup? That's the one question that Mike Hill and Dan Jennings haven't been able to answer yet this offseason. Their preference is to find a power-hitting first baseman who can slide into the cleanup spot. And as we continue tonight here on Marlins Hot Stove, want to get your thoughts. A chance for you to chime in. We got open phone lines right now, 866-801-0940. That number again, 866-801-0940. The one big piece of the puzzle that remains. Who should be at first base for the Marlins in 2015? You have suggestions? You have other thoughts, other questions? Now's your chance to join the show. We are back with the remaining moments. Hopefully back with you right after this on 940 Wins.
Marlins Baseball Hot Stove Talk with Glenn Geffner is on 940 Wins, Miami Sports.
Got about 15 more minutes with you tonight. If you want to join the show, now is the time. 866-801-0940. The number to call, 866-801-0940. Talking baseball with you tonight. Going to be talking some football at Marlins Park 1 week from today as they play the inaugural Miami Beach Bowl, the BYU Cougars and the Memphis Tigers, next Monday, December 22nd at Marlins Park. BYU headed to a bowl game for the 10th straight season. The Cougars won their last four consecutive games in the regular season. Memphis has won six in a row. Tigers finished up 9-3, part of a three-way tie atop the American Athletic Conference. Individual tickets, group tickets, hospitality packages on sale at MiamiBeachBowl.com. The first ever Miami Beach Bowl coming to Marlins Park 1 week from today, December 22nd, at the site of the Old Orange Bowl. It'll be fun to see football played on those hallowed grounds once again. Talking baseball with you now. The Marlins had a very busy week last week at the winter meetings. Michael Hill and Dan Jennings swinging three big deals. We talked with and about D. Gordon extensively. We want to talk a little bit about Dan Heron, who it remains a question. Will Dan Heron retire rather than come to Miami? He had said late in the season that with his kids getting a little bit older, he had hoped to stay in Southern California for the rest of his career. He said, if the Dodgers trade me away, I'll probably just retire unless I can play for the Dodgers or the Angels. So Marlins don't know for sure at this point whether or not he will come to Miami for the 2015 season. Now, they're insulated either way. Heron due to make $10 million this season. If he pitches for Miami, the Dodgers are paying his salary. If he doesn't pitch for the Marlins, the Dodgers send $10 million the Marlins' way anyway, so that money could conceivably be used to help bring somebody else in. But I want to let you hear from Michael Hill, the Marlins president of baseball operations, with the latest on Dan Heron.
My half spoke to Dan Heron, and we just told him we were excited to have him as a Miami Marlin. And I talked to him about the talent that we've assembled down in Miami, and how we thought that he would be a great fit with what we were trying to do. And he said he needed to talk to his family and he would get back to us. But in the conversation, he recognized that the talent that we have in South Florida, and you know that it could potentially be a good spot for him.
You know, we think we have a very talented group of players in South Florida and that he would be a good fit. As I said, you know, it's a good core of players. You look at our young rotation, a solid bullpen, the lineup with the young players there. You know, it's a good place to be, and it's a team that is moving in the right direction, and we hope takes that next step and is playing meaningful games into October next year. So I hope he realizes that and wants to be a part of it also.
Now the Marlins hoping Dan Heron will say yes and come to Miami. You look at the rotation right now. Henderson Alvarez, Jared Cozart, Matt Latos picked up from the Reds last week. You know those three are going to be a big part of the rotation. You hope Dan Heron will be in there. You've got Nathan Eovaldi and Tom Kohler, both of whom made 30-plus starts a season ago for the first time in their big league careers. Both continue to get better and better. And now beyond those six names we've mentioned, you've got Brad Hand, the left-hander, who we saw get his most extensive big league time in 2014. Couple of pitchers the Marlins have acquired in recent weeks, Aaron Crow from the Royals organization, Andre Rienzo from the White Sox. Crow had been a starter in college at the University of Missouri and in the minor leagues. He's pitched in the bullpen exclusively as a big leaguer, but the Marlins, after picking him up from Kansas City and part of a deal for Brian Flynn, said that they'd consider stretching Crow out if they need insurance in rotation. He's an option there, as is Rienzo, who I mentioned made 21 starts over the last two seasons for the Chicago White Sox, one of two natives of Brazil to appear in the major leagues over the years. You've got Justin Nicolino, the left-hander, one of the top Marlins prospects, coming off the monster season, helping Jacksonville win the AA Southern League Championship in 2014. Nicolino led the Southern League in just about every single pitching category, was the league's Pitcher of the Year, was the Marlins' Minor League Pitcher of the Year. And oh yeah, come June or July, you've got a kid named Jose Fernandez who'll be coming back from Tommy John surgery. And you've seen a lot of very positive response to the moves the Marlins have made over the course of the last week. Jason Stark from ESPN.com made the comment that if Jose Fernandez gives the Marlins anything close to what he did as a rookie when he comes back in the second half of this season, he sees the Marlins as a shoe-in postseason team with the rotation they've put together without Jose. Then you throw Jose into that mix, an improved lineup with D. Gordon, and hopefully a big bat at first base still to come. And folks talking about this Marlins team potentially being a playoff team in 2015, and that's the goal. The Marlins made the big 15-win jump from 2013 to 2014. They went from 62 wins to 77 wins, looking for about another 15 wins this season. If you can get to 92, you're going to be playing baseball in October, barring something very unforeseen. Let's get to the phones. Again, 866-801-0940, the number to call if you want to talk baseball in our final minutes tonight. Let's begin tonight with Tim out in Pompano. Tim, welcome to the show.
Hey, Glenn, just found us. Glad to hear it. So
glad you found us.
I'm hearing some baseball talk here.
Glad to have you with us.
My question, being a transplanted Phillies fan, I'm going to be all at the Marlins here, but when I see Stanton's contract and I see him, you know, the nature of his injury there at the end of the year with getting that headshot, do we see any parallels? Are we worried about any parallels with Ryan Howard when he signed his big deal? Are we worried about that at all? And then the next question would be, do we see Ryan Howard as maybe an answer at first base, whether beginning of the year or maybe midseason?
A couple of interesting questions. Tim, thanks for the call. I'll do my best to answer them. I would say the difference, there are a lot of differences between Stanton and Ryan Howard, but one is Stanton only being 25 years old as he signs this contract and really being a much more all-around five-tool talent than Ryan Howard was. In Howard's heyday, no doubt, he had a lot of home runs, drove in a lot of runs, but he was always a very one-dimensional player, not a Gold Glove caliber outfielder as Stanton is. Certainly not a guy that's going to go out and steal 13 bases in the season for you as Stanton did last year. I remember when Jack McKeon managed this team back in 2010, he talked about the fact that he thought one day Stanton could be a 30-30 player even. And that might have been a little bit of hyperbole, but the thought of 30 homers and 30 steals from Stanton. So when you consider Stanton, the physique, the work ethic, the way he takes care of himself, injuries are going to happen, and there's nothing you can do to prevent that. But you see Stanton aging better when you consider the body type, I think, than anybody would have anticipated Ryan Howard was going to age when you consider his body type. Howard as an alternative at first base is interesting. It's not a name that you've heard brought up because mostly teams that have been discussed as maybe willing to take a flyer on Howard are mostly American League teams, so he could DH primarily. Look, he has played through a lot of injuries the last couple of years, still hit some home runs, still drove in runs playing every day for the Phillies last year in a very hitter-friendly ballpark, remember, for one thing in Philadelphia. But when you watch Howard play first base, when you watch him on the bases, I'll be honest, at times it was painful just to watch him play. The legs are bad. The knees are bad. He had the Achilles injury 3 years ago. Just doesn't move well around the bag anymore. He's real liability defensively. And, yeah, you're looking for offense at first base primarily if you're the Marlins. But, boy, as a very short-term answer with the Phillies paying a lot of the money, maybe you consider it. But he's still signed for, what, at least two, maybe three more seasons. And I don't think that Howard's a name the Marlins would consider here. Talk maybe could end up in the American League DHing some, but despite the fact he still has some pop in that bat, it doesn't seem as though he's got a ton left, and I'd be surprised if Howard was the answer at first base here in 2015. It's a good question, though. Now, you may say, well, what is the answer at first base for the Marlins in 2015? I threw that question out on Facebook and Twitter earlier this afternoon and got a lot of names that we've come to expect. And, you know, there are four main names you hear from the outside: Justin Morneau, the free agent Michael Morse, Alan Craig, and Pedro Alvarez are names that you've heard or players the Marlins could target via trade. Morneau will be 34 in May, former teammate of Mike Redmond's with the Twins, due to make $6.75 million in 2015 with a $9 million mutual option for 2016 or a buyout of about $750,000. He was a batting champion in the National League this past year. Hit .319 with the Rockies, 32 doubles, 17 homers, 82 RBIs. That was at Coors Field, remember. If you look at Morneau, he had the big years as a Twin between 2006 and 2009. The last 5 years, beginning in 2010, his production has really dropped dramatically. And the biggest thing that would appear at this point to be a reason why you won't see Morneau being the answer is, at least to this point, what has been reported is in talking to the Marlins about a potential deal for Morneau, the Rockies have reportedly been asking for either Henderson Alvarez or Jared Cozart to be part of that deal. And I would be stunned to see the Marlins part with either one of those pitchers. at this point. They're both such huge parts of this rotation. Alvarez, an all-star this past season. Cozart, such a huge part of this ball club after coming over in the deadline deal with the Astros. Two young, terrific arms. I'd be stunned to see the Marlins trade either of those players. And if that's what it takes to get Morneau, you can take Morneau off the table entirely. Michael Moore's a free agent, so he costs you dollars, but not players. Maybe that makes Morse more attractive. You don't have to give players up to bring Michael Morse in here. He'll be 33 when the season starts, a Fort Lauderdale native. Had a nice year for the Giants this past season, 279, 32 doubles, 16 homers, 61 runs batted in, made $6 million. That gives you an idea of where he might be financially moving forward. Now, last year, only the third time in 10 big league seasons, Morse had played at least 100 games. He has not always been an everyday player in his career. His best year came in Washington. We saw a lot of him as a national back in 2011. It's a few years ago. 2011 as a national, he hit 303, a 910 OPS, 36 doubles, 31 homers, 95 RBIs, all career highs. So again, Morse, the one free agent in this mix, you don't have to give up players to get him. That's what might make him attractive to many. Alan Craig, Pedro Alvarez. Craig, the former Cardinal, now a Red Sox. Alvarez, the former number one pick of the Pirates. Both players coming off down seasons. And the thought is maybe you can buy low on Craig or Alvarez. Both possibilities. Craig had a monster year for St. Louis in 2013 after a very strong year for the Cardinals in 2012. Alvarez really struggled defensively at third base, his natural position last year. Things got so bad from defensively, the Pirates just basically took him out of the lineup at third base. He'd made so many errors over the first 3-4 months of the season. He didn't play much at all down the stretch. They had him take some ground balls at first base. He played 5 games at first base, but first base would be an entirely new position for Pedro Alvarez, who did hit 36 home runs 2 years ago to lead the National League. But he's a low average, high strikeout guy in a lineup that already has a lot of high strikeout guys. You might shy away from that. From the inside, you've got these options. You've got the Garrett Jones, Jeff Baker platoon, which is basically what we saw from the Marlins from early May through the end of this past season. Jones, who hit right-handers much better than he hit left-handers. Baker, who rakes against lefties. You've got the possibility that Andy actually brought up on Twitter today of a Baker-Bohr platoon. Remember Justin Bohr, who came up down the stretch last year, swung the bat very well, particularly against right-handers. So maybe you go with the Jeff Baker, Justin Bohr platoon, or some have suggested, what about giving the 26-year-old Justin Bohr a shot? Bohr played in 39 games for the Marlins this past season. Hit .284, had a .726 OPS, 3 doubles, a homer, 11 RBIs. Big numbers at AAA New Orleans this past season for Bohr. He had a lot of success against right-handers in particular, so maybe Justin Bohr is the answer, some would suggest. We'll see. Those are the names you hear the most right now. Morneau, Morse, Craig, Alvarez from the outside, Jones, Baker, Bohr, the guys on the inside. Maybe there's a surprise who'll pop in, but who will bat fourth for the Marlins next year behind Giancarlo? Who'll be at first base? That's the one big question that Michael Hill and Dan Jennings still have to answer this offseason. And now that they've answered so many other questions, we'll see what they can do in this regard. If they can bring the right player in at first base for 2015, boy, it really, really makes this a terrific winter for the Marlins. That is all the time we have for this week's show. I want to thank our guests tonight, New Marlins second baseman Dee Gordon, as well as our in-studio engineer, Mike Lekomiak. And thanks, of course, to you for being with us for another edition of Marlins Hot Stove. If you missed any of tonight's show or would like to go back and listen to past shows, all of our Marlins Hot Stove shows are available at marlins.com/hotstove. They're also available as free podcasts on the iTunes Store. Don't forget, back with you again next Monday and every Monday night at 7, more Marlins guests and more Marlins talk. Certainly no shortage of things to talk about regarding this ball club right now. Stay tuned. Coming up Monday Night Football, it's the Saints and the Bears from Soldier Field, and it's coming your way next on your home for Marlins baseball all season and all off-season long, Miami Sports Station, 940 Wins.